If you haven't mastered pacing in your games, you should watch this video. And if you have mastered pacing in your games, you should watch this video anyway, because there might be some things in here that will help you go even further. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of How to Be a Great GM. My name is Guy, and we are talking about pacing. And I've spoken about pacing many times on this channel, and I have looked at what is a fast pace, what is a slow pace. I have tried to understand why it is that some GMs just seem to be
so incredibly slow,
and other GMs seem to be flying at the speed of lightning. And it's a comment that I often get. Players at my table, they say, it just never stopped. It felt like this roller coaster. It was just, and everything just flowed, and it was insane. And I look at it and I go, really? I thought it was a little bit slow, actually. I felt that there was downtime there. What pacing is all about, when you get down to the nitty-gritty, is pacing is about the amount of decisions that the players have to make in a given time frame. Travel overland is often seen as a boring thing. It's often seen as a slow part of the game. There's nothing much to do. It's like, well, you journey across. We've done videos on how to make travel overland interesting. And basically, it's by introducing the number of decisions that the players have to make whilst doing it. So if you reduce the number of decisions that they have to do, the pacing slows down. It becomes very pedantic. Shopping, for example, is not so much of a decision-making. It's fun, and we get to spend coin, and we get to go and do this, and we get to go and do that, but there's not a huge amount of critical decision-making. In combat, the combat itself might feel tedious to you as the GM, because you don't have any stakes in that combat, necessarily. If your monsters die, your monsters are supposed to die. Actually, your monsters are supposed to run away before they fight to the death. They shouldn't be doing that. They're there to provide opposition, to provide story, to provide context, to be there because they have to be there. The players, on the other hand, if the player characters die, then there are a lot of things that are going to happen. There's lots of consequences for them, so the decisions that they're making during combat are super critical, and they've got to be looking critically at how do they do this and how do they do that. So they've got much more stake in that particular form of the game. As the GM, your primary stakes are, of course, in the whole world space and in the story and keeping whatever the current plan is kind of floating, and asking yourself ogas questions about your NPCs and adding in world lore and all that kind of stuff. So you're busy doing all of that. So for you, it's a fast-paced space anyway. But for the player characters, it's about recognizing that we need to have this fast and slow and fast and slow. Slow, generally speaking, is when the players are going to be talking with each other. They're going to be discussing things. They're going to be talking or doing mundane things. So we need to encourage our players to have this kind of space. Some people call it downtime. I don't want to call it downtime, because that implies that it's not an active part of the game. Rather, have these moments where an NPC will step in and say, I know that we're trying to get rid of the king because the king's evil, and I know that you've got the key to his throne room, but how does that make any of you feel? It's a great leading question. But what it should do, and what you should use that NPC to do, is to inspire them to start talking about the entire thing, to start having maybe a little bit of a plan, to start giving them some guidance. This is why having NPCs with coincidental knowledge about what the player characters are thinking about is really useful in guiding that kind of slowdown and guiding that space. Another great way to do it is to have NPCs that ask for a PC to just spend a moment with them, and they talk about nothing. They talk about their hopes and their dreams and how privileged they feel to be traveling in the presence of the PC. All of this kind of stuff. There's no decision making being made. There's no critical decision making being made, but there is a conversation that's been happening. There is stuff that's going on. Alternatively, when the players go into a market space, don't rush them. Don't force them to have to go into a decision-making process. But you do need to be aware that when they have been shopping for half a session, it's time to kick up the pace. You've got to keep the pressure on, Because when you don't have any pressure, when your players have stopped having to think about things, that is when your game slows down. The other way, and this is where you as the DM can become your own worst enemy, is where the players have got a plan. They've spent some time thinking about things. They've got what they need as far as they're concerned. But you are throwing things in the path that prevent them from making decisions. Like what? I hear you scream, what am I doing wrong? If your players are on track, if they have got the scent and they are following it, and you throw a door in the way of that journey, and you decide that this door is going to be a trap because it's cool and you've worked out exactly how it's going to work and you've got this multifunctional trap and it's really, really, really cool. The players might get to that door. They fail a roll, or they just don't have the way of seeing it as you do. You don't know what's going through their heads. What you do know is that they hit that trap door and the game stops moving. The decision just vaporizes. We've got to get through this door. There's no other decision. Can we go around it? No, because this door leads into the caverns, so there's no alternative for us to go around, so we can't think about options there. We have to get through this door. Our thief player is not here today, or the thief just respect and doesn't have those skills anymore, or our thief rolled 20 and you set the difficulty at 22. Something has prevented them from moving forward. But now they're at a dead end, which means they're also no longer thinking. They're like, well, I don't know. If you start to say to them, okay, well, why don't you check for footprints? To where? For what? Who cares? The players have a frustration point. That's all that there is to it. You've ground your game to a halt, and now instead of realizing this and fixing it straight away, and fixing it straight away, by the way, is super easy. As you are standing there, frustrated at this door, it opens. And this very, very tired old gnome comes waddling out with some laundry. The gnome was never part of the dungeon, but there are now gnomes in those dungeons. Or this gnome lives in the entranceway and has been there for 50 years and is known as the steward. Whatever. And he's doing his laundry today. So he comes out, he sees all of these adventurers, and he says, Oh, I do beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. I didn't know you were trying to break into the dungeon. Do you want me to close the door for you so you can continue to impress us with your amazing thieving skills and all that sort of thing? Or shall I just let you go through? You look like you need a little help.
Don't do it by the case of, the door suddenly opens for no reason. There's got to be a reason.
And if it's just a random thing that happens, it's going to feel false. That NPC steward who's opened the door for them, who's going to go and do his laundry, he might very well say, well, look, I can't let you in the dungeon because, well, the dungeon's only for employees only. And technically, if you want to break in, you've got to break in on your own. I'm a bit of a stickler for the rules. But that doesn't mean that you can't help me with this here basket of laundry. I'm just going down to the river down there. Help me with the laundry, and then technically you'd be an employee of the dungeon.
If the player characters agree, they go down to the river. The river has some kind of trap or thing that goes on down there, and this is why the gnome wanted them to go down. They defeat the trap, they tie up the gnome, kill the gnome, and then they walk into the dungeon. So you have covered a boring pacing, a dead end, with something that is intriguing, something that has added livability, a living world type of thing, that there was the steward. If they are kind to the steward may pop up later on in the dungeon as well. If they murder the steward, that may aggravate the monsters within the dungeon. Again, this is just adding to the realism of that space, and it is removing the pacing killer, which is what we don't want.
So when you are introducing elements into the game, one of the questions that you should constantly be asking yourself is, is this going to block the pacing? Is this going to slow the game down? Because if it does, goodbye! You are gone! Banished forever!
We don't want it in our game. But it does happen that you go, oh, I've designed this dungeon. It's so cool. You guys are going to have so much fun. And they get there and they get stumped. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to get stuck here. I will not have this whole thing derailed because of one bad roll or because of this or because of that. So you have now some tools available to you to get past. Something else that you can also do, and this is really critical, is do not be precious about what you had planned out. Something that I think every GM needs to experience, and this is why I say go to conventions, run convention games, or set yourself a time within which to run your games and stick to that time. Try and stick to that time. There is nothing more frustrating than saying, oh, I've got this plan and I've got that plan and I've got this worked out and I've got that worked out and I've got this and I've got that. A, overplanning. B, if those plans are so, so precious to you, you won't be able to simply step past them. I was running a game at D&D in a Castle. You've got 3 days, 24 hours to run a mini campaign. Multi-layered, all of this kind of stuff. We're playing at the tops of our games as much as we can. Of course, we're all having fun. And you go, right, well, I've planned this and I've got this and I've got that. I had an entire tomb with a green dragon battle at the end of it. This huge sequence that I really, really was looking forward to running with my players. But I was running out of time. The pacing had also been a little bit slow and I wanted it to speed up. My players had also been beaten back a couple times by the bad guys. I wanted them to have a fun release, a win, and to be able to just move on. Now, they knew this dragon was in there, so they had to fight it. So I, as the GM, was effectively trapped in this course of action. I had no control over that. The world space had said this, the players knew what was going on, everything was set in motion because at the beginning of the session in the morning, we seemed to be on track. But things slowed down, things took a different turn, and so when they came to this temple, I needed a way to get past it quickly. All of the traps, all of the ideas, all of the monsters that I had planned in it, they needed to get out of the way. I did not have the time for it. What I did? Well, they were on top of a mountain looking down onto this temple, and so they could drop rocks onto the temple and crush the whole thing. They did have to figure out a way of how to prevent the dragon from breaking out of the rubble, and they did that beautifully. And then they dropped an even bigger rock on the whole thing and squish. It took me maybe an hour rather than four. And so by putting that time constraint on yourself, by putting that pressure on yourself, you start to cut away all of the excess that you don't need. And as a result, the pacing of your game picks up and you can move forward. Equally so, this means you can control when you slow down. You can put some brakes on. You need to think about what's coming up. You need a moment to actually be able to pause. So if it's just been chaos and your players are going, oh my goodness, there's so much that's going on, I need a moment, you can put something in that causes that moment to stretch out, to delay. The Death King is going to sacrifice by tomorrow morning. Well, actually, it's going to be cloudy, so there's no sun tomorrow, so the entire ritual has been put off by a day, so the player characters can have their campsite just outside of the Death Lord's giant city of doom, and they can spend a day recovering and healing and nurturing. This is something that I am still learning as a GM, to remember that sometimes it's nice for my players just to sit back and relax and not have the end of the world hanging over them. Anyway, hit that like button if you feel like there's been something useful in today's video. Hit that like button if you put some pacing into your game in your next session. Set yourself some goals. We only improve if we try for better. Huge thank you to all of my patrons. You're getting your latest Braxia updates for the world tracker, Goblin World Tracker. Massive thank you to the Web Goblin for keeping everything running, where you can get all of our books online, www.greatgamemaster.com, and to the Editor Goblin for making these videos nice and short and pacey and a little bit funny. I must admit, I do enjoy getting these videos back and going, yeah, that's what I meant, even if it took me 50 hours to say. For more, we'll be back on Tuesday nights with live plays. That's solo live plays with me, Tuesday nights, GMT time, 8 p.m. GMT. And then on Thursdays, I've got shorts
where we've got little snippets, little ideas for you from all over the world. And so until next time, I wish you and yours the happiest of gaming.